firstly, it is expected that ZANU-PF is going to endorse, number one, the indigenization agenda, which has now become government policy through the enactment of a law called the Indigenization and Economic Empowerment Act. Number two, it is expected that this conference will endorse President Mugabe as the official candidate of the party in any election that is going to happen in 2012 or 2013. Number three, obviously, the conference is going to discuss the operations of the inclusive government in terms of how they view it and how the party looks at the inclusive government, which is the government of today. So those are the three topical issues that I expect to be there at the center stage of this conference, particularly the issue of black economic empowerment through the policy of indigenization.
Mr. Smith, we understand from what Mr. Zikira is saying that the succession issue is obviously off limits here. Why would you think ZANU-PF would want to keep going with Mr. Mugabe at his age?
Well, I would assume that the problem is they, like a lot of political parties around the world, they feel that if they start opening up a leadership contest at this stage, right, I mean, it could be less than a year before an election, that could prove extremely divisive. And I think one is very aware that there are different points of view within the party. There are different factions jockeying for power. People talk about the faction backing the Defense Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa. They talk about the faction backing the Vice President Joyce Mujuru, and there are other groups within the party jostling for power. So I think it's a matter of self-interest. They think that President Mugabe's positives, his sort of symbolic role as liberation leader, will then outweigh any criticism of him, and it's better to stick with the man they know than to open up a leadership contest within the party that could have unpredictable consequences.
Mr. Zikira, from what you have seen so far at the conference, do you see ZANU-PF coming out with a winning strategy looking at elections that are expected anytime, probably within a year?
Well, yes, I do think that, in fact, ZANU-PF has recovered from the previous years where people were voting through the tarmac as opposed to analyzing government policies and choosing those that they think work for them and those that do not work for them. I think clearly ZANU-PF has regained its momentum, and it has become much more dangerous come to an election than it was over the past 10 years. But the issue of succession to me is really not an issue, considering that the provinces are convinced that their strongest candidate really is President Mugabe. So given that scenario, it would be crazy for those provinces to leave their strongest candidate because they suspect one or two things about his health which have not been verified. I think the provinces of ZANU-PF have taken the best decision that they could take, considering that they are facing the most fierce opposition that they've ever faced ever since independence. And so Mugabe continues and remains the only credible candidate, at least in the interim, to ensure that the MDC does not cross the line.
Mr. Smith, as you respond to what Livingstone Zikira has just said, as an outsider, what would ideally have been the right thing for ZANU-PF to do to make sure that they regain that space which they lost in 2008, if at all?
Well, I think Mr. Livingstone's argument makes a lot of sense. This election, hopefully, will be fought about policies and the strategies for recovering, you know, helping the Zimbabwe economy to recover. You know, don't forget, 15 years ago, Zimbabwe was the second most powerful economy in Southern Africa. It's now the least powerful economy. It's the sick man of Southern Africa. And obviously, Zimbabweans want to see that reversed. So any party, I mean, this election, hopefully, should be about changing that and finding policies that are going to rebuild the Zimbabwean economy, provide the jobs, the technology, the economic muscle to take the country forward. It's got to be a battle of ideas. So I think he's dead right about that. I mean, the personalities, hopefully could take a second place to that. The other thing I'd say just on that issue, the ZANU, you know, decision to go into alliance, or sort of a coalition, shall we say, with MDC, I think was quite a clever one. Because what happened was that the economy has recovered. There was a lot of support for the MDC initially after the coalition started, because it was seen, well, we had a bad economy when ZANU was in power, and then ZANU goes into coalition with the MDC, and the economy gets better. They have a good finance minister. I think almost everyone's agreed that BT is an effective finance minister. He dollarizes, and everything improves. But now, expectations are that much higher. And the Zimbabweans I've been speaking to recently, they are dissatisfied now. They're saying we kind of reached a plateau. Things were improving for a little bit. Now we've reached a plateau. So there's a new debate about where we go from here, because we clearly have to then raise our game. So my argument now is that it's actually going to be quite difficult for the MDC, you know, on the policy front, to make its case. It's going to have to, you know, put people like BT in the forefront and make their, you know, make his argument very strongly that the policies he's tried to implement are only half implemented. And if we're going to see the recovery that he wants, you know, he's going to have more power to do so within the context of an MDC government. So I think it's going to be quite a tough election on the front.
Mr. Zigira, come the end of the conference Sunday, do you see ordinary Zimbabweans buying into ZANU-PF's indigenization and empowerment policies?
Well, I see ordinary Zimbabweans buying into the indigenization policies of ZANU-PF, not necessarily because of this conference, but necessarily because the policies already begin to show some results. People were concerned about the broad-based aspect of that policy, and that is the exact point that the minister responsible for indigenization has already begun to address. You can refer to the 10% community ownership scheme that has been given to people around Zimplas provinces, people around Unki, ETC, etc., etc. I just want to refute what Mr. Smith is just saying across the line there. It is utterly, totally, and unashamedly false for him to claim that Mr. Nithi dollarized the economy. I think Chandai Biti is doing a good job as a finance minister in a number of ways, but he's not the one who dollarized the economy. If anything, he has not introduced any new policy into this economy. He has simply put the economy on autopilot. If you go through the medium-term plan, the mid-term plan, whatever plan he calls, just the same regurgitated policies that have been created by ZANU-PF before. In fact, the resuscitation of the Zimbabwean economy is not a result of the coming in of MDC into the inclusive government. It is a result of the silence that was caused by the MDC when they got into government. Remember, they were going all around saying there's chaos in Zimbabwe, that there's lack of rule of law, things are not working. But when they got into government, now they are beginning to cooperate and they're beginning to speak positive of the same people that they were criticizing yesterday. Therefore, it has now become an automatic result of the silence, in fact, of the change of position by the MDC. In other words, if the MDC had continued outside government, it was going to continue using the tactics of damaging the economy through economic sanctions, through lobbying for the isolation of Zimbabwe. So in my view, it is a totally false position that the coming in of MDC improved the economy. If anything, both parties are not responsible for this economy. It is an economy on autopilot. It is an economy no one is really controlling. It's an economy that cannot be affected by any intrusion in terms of fiscal space that may happen, and in terms of even monetary policy, considering that the country is not even controlling its own currency. It's a US-backed currency. I think Mr. Smith's argument that MDC brought this economic stabilization is an argument that can only be sold to those that are willing to hear it. As a matter of fact, they did not dollarize the economy. It was Patrick Chinamasa who dollarized the economy when he was acting Minister of Finance. Chandai Biti simply came and endorsed that. All the blueprints he has come up with are simply a replica of what ZANU-PF has done before. What has changed is that MDC has stopped saying bad things about the country, and that is what has brought economic stabilization.
In wrapping up,
with the greatest of respect, Mr. Livingston, you know, just look at the figures. After the power-sharing agreement between MDC and ZANU was announced, you've only got to look at the growth figures, the investment figures, the trade figures, the availability of goods in the shops. And it's really beyond
there is no debate about that. There is no debate about the fact that the economy has improved.
You can argue which faction was responsible for it, but there was a clear improvement in the economy after the power sharing government was launched.
Yes.
And that's beyond debate.
There was a clear improvement in the economy, primarily because the allies of the MDC, particularly the Western countries, stop sabotaging the economy. For example, British Petroleum began pumping fuel into Zimbabwe after the inclusive government. Before the inclusive government, they closed their taps. So naturally, that brought energy into the economy. It was simply an artificial decay of the economy which had been caused by a political party which had lost it politically and was now fighting it economically. It's a clear and non-strategy. No one can dispute that unless they just want to fool people. The fact of the matter is that MDC stopped doing what it was doing to damage the economy. ZANU-PF did not do anything new. MDC did not do anything new. It was simply a continuation of the old, with more silence about the crisis and so-called conflict. This is, to me, what caused economic stabilization, not the entrance of MDC. It is the silence, not their entrance. Their silence on sabotaging the economy.
Just in wrapping up, Mr. Smith, what do you predict for Zimbabwe come, 2012?
Well, I think there's a lot of work to be done. Last time I was in Zimbabwe, I had a long conversation with Welshman Nkube of the other MDC faction. And he's, as you know, he's central in the constitutional reform process. And I think he expressed a concern that are pretty widely shared across the broader society, that is the trades union movement, civil society, and community groups in general, that the politicians may cobble together a deal. I'm talking about the MDC, Tsvangirai faction, and the ZANU-PF faction, and ZANU-PF group, and short-circuit that constitutional reform process. And I think there's a real concern that if they went to elections without proper constitutional reforms and safeguards, one could see a repeat of the disaster that happened in 2008. So I think that's the first thing, to make sure that the constitutional reform process is carried out properly, that the Zimbabweans get the constitution they've expressed the desire for and they want, and that we see free and fair elections with effective monitoring and an observer force from the region. And I think that's really important. And then we have safeguards on freedom of expression in the media. There's no great advantage to any party in the state media and so on. And then I think we'll get credible elections, and then whoever wins the elections, then that group will get legitimacy. And once you get a group in power with legitimacy through credible elections, then I think you'll really start to see the economic revival in Zimbabwe that should be possible. You'll get back to a situation that, as I said, obtained 15 years ago when Zimbabwe was the second biggest economy in the region.
Your last word, Mr. Zigira.
Well, I think the constitution exercise is obviously necessary, considering that Zimbabwe has been operating with a constitution which was borrowed from a negotiated process. But it is said that there is a claim that the constitution is going to be fundamentally new from what is there. The truth of the matter is that the constitution is basically going to remain almost the same, except for key clauses, including the limitation on the presidential term, which no one is debating against. There's nothing new that is going to come out of that constitution. I don't think it is going to solve our economic crisis. It's a process that was agreed to because there was noise about it. But essentially, the issue of the rule of law can be addressed with or without the constitution. The issue of the land question could have been addressed through amendments to the constitution. It's just a sheer waste of time. In fact, it is now being used to postpone elections, which are now long overdue in terms of the global political agreement, by those that have become comfortable by the gravy train of the inclusive government. So I think that going into the next election, it is important that people focus on policies and not necessarily personalities, because governments are not run by individuals, they're run by policies. And the policies that have been enunciated by ZANU-PF remain fundamentally the same policies that this country is running on. In terms of ICTs, I agree with Smith that there is need to improve technology in the economy. But surprisingly, we have a minister of ICT from the MDC who has brought totally nothing new, except from bringing computers or continuing Mugabe's computerization program. And he has launched not more than 300 computers that have been set out to areas that were previously marginalized. I think ZANU-PF is still largely in control in terms of the policies that it has set. Those policies are working. They've been disturbed in the past 10 years by the noise created by our political parties, particularly the MDC formations, which is not a strategy of unseating Mugabe, except to sabotage the economy. I think that beyond the next election, Zimbabwe will be set on a way going forward where we are going to consolidate on the policies that have been crafted before and improve on them, and therefore bringing tranquility and development in the country.